went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day, don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 and then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
This is Bruce Bagan from B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're proud sponsors of When Your Health Matters. Please appreciate that as a pool and spa builder, we are committed to making sure that you can get the most health benefits from owning your own hot water spa. And that's why we carry a full line of Sundance Spas, the world's leading manufacturer of hydrotherapy spas. Relaxation is one of the best ways to take care of your health. And when you own your own Sundance Spa, you can unwind at home every day in the privacy and comfort of your own home. Each Sundance Spa has dozens of precisely placed water jets to pamper you with their massaging bubbles. B&B Pool and Spa Center carries a full line of Sundance spas and is a factory-authorized warranty center. Come to B&B. You'll be amazed at how easy we make it to have your own personal hydrotherapy spa. We'll handle everything for you, so just sit back and relax. Visit the water professionals at B&B Pool and Spa Center, where we've been helping customers relax and enjoy their water since 1972. 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com or call 888-706-4557. That's bbpoolandspa.com. Or 888-706-4557.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We are in Suite 404 of Building 400. That's where we're located. If you want to get a hold of me, talk to me directly, I'd ask you to give my cell phone a call. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. That is the best way to get a hold of me, short of standing right in front of me. If you want to get a hold of me via email, you can certainly email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K @spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding, whether it's through email, whether it's through voicemail, whether it's through face-to-face, whatever it takes. I help people all over the country and sometimes out of the country, help them solve their health-related conditions by giving them practical advice, and had been doing that for quite a number of years. And then we decided we should take it to make it a little bit bigger and help more people, and we brought it to the airwaves. And we've been doing this radio show for about 14 years now, and the man that helps me do that, when I say we, his name is Mark Sabin, and he's in studio with me, sitting across the studio, looking all happy and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and we want to say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thanks so much, Doc Rick. You know, this is the time of year, we're in winter now, and now we talked about this once before, the other week, that, you know, now we're in the time, the element of water. And I remember you saying that there is a relationship between the kidneys and blood pressure. And according to Chinese medical theory, the kidneys are considered the most important organ in the body. Why them and why not the heart?
Oh, it's a good question. Why them and not the spleen, or why them and not the liver or something like that? Right. Somebody has to be the most important. In this case, it's a organ. Why is it the most important organ in the body? Your kidneys regulate fluids within the body. It regulates your electrolytes for normal physiology and helps you manage your confidence versus fear within life itself. The heart, although important, is and serves as a pump for circulation. Physiology and coordinating function is more important than just simply pumping fluids around. Regulating what goes on within those fluids and then having the heart pump them around makes the heart less of a priority. And let's be honest, they're both vital for our survival.
Well, certainly. And I guess, you know, it's one of the things that we don't often think about, because part of the kidney's job is to take toxins out of the fluids in your body. So keeping your body clean, I guess, is an extremely important thing, so that the blood that's flowing through your body is nourishing your body and not causing more problems.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why you want to put real whole food, natural food, the food that God intended for us, and not necessarily food that's been refined and processed and has a long shelf life and is loaded with chemicals and preservatives and additives and colorings and all of that, because those are non-natural elements that may find their way into your blood. And then your blood isn't clean and isn't doing its job the way that it should, because it's been overrun with a bunch of toxins and chemicals.
And that stresses out the systems that have
stresses
to filter
out
it out.
The whole system and creates more pressure within the system.
So there is this notion in Chinese medicine, the word they use is qi, or vital energy. What is this vital energy, and how do the kidneys support it?
Well, vital energy, or potential energy, is the energy that we are born with, and is the energy that we have as a spirit occupying our physical body, and if managed properly, will sustain us throughout our whole life. And associated with our fluids for reproduction, this is the gathering in our kidneys, and it's important to stay well hydrated, and kidney requirements, and not abuse sex and the fluids for reproduction. They're all influenced by this vital qi as processed through our kidneys. So if we're behaving in a balanced fashion, then our vital qi will sustain us for a long period of time. But if we're leading a risque life and an abusive life, and we're overdoing things, then that drains some of our vital qi, and that influences the longevity, or the lack of longevity, as we go forward in time.
So how do we nurture this vital qi?
Live a balanced life and support our confidence and participating in life. Confidence is the opposite of fear, and fear is the negative emotion that drains the kidneys and the vital qi. So when you are confident, when you have faith, when you trust in life's process, and when you believe in a higher power that everything's okay and everything's going to work out, and you don't worry, okay, then your energy works for you. When you take on a negative emotion like a fear, or like a paralyzed will, or a dread, or an impending doom, or something like that, because those are the emotions that impact how the kidney functions, what that does is that increases the stress on the system, and you actually lose some of your vital qi. And the longer you do that, you know, it's interesting. You can look at some people who are in their 40s, and some of them look like they're in their 50s, even though they're in their 40s, and some of them look like they're in their 30s, even though they're
right,
in their 40s.
That's true.
Those people are burning through their vital qi at a different rate.
So many of our organs in our body are singular, but the kidneys are a double organ. Why is it that we need two kidneys?
Well, to process all the bodily fluids, regulate your minerals and electrolytes, and they are paired to support the masculine and the feminine properties within spirit. So the left side of the body is typically the feminine, is the non-linear, is the non-logical side of the body. Okay, and so we need an organ to help us deal with those aspects of life. And then the right side is considered the masculine, the direct, the logical, the linear. We need to be able to support that aspect of life. So our great creator created two organs, and they work in pairs in an effort to help to keep balance within those aspects of our life.
I see. So now, in point of fact, how do the kidneys actually control the body's fluids?
Hormonally and through the filtration system that manages the electrolytes, primarily the sodium and potassium that are involved in blood pressure and fluid retention, with the help of the kidney support gland, which is the adrenals. The AD in the adrenal system, the AD means above, so the adrenals actually sit right on top of the kidneys, and they work close in harmony with each other. in terms of managing fluid balance and blood pressure through the hormones that the adrenal glands secrete under the guidance of or the direction of the kidneys.
Uh-huh. And the adrenal glands is the fight or flight.
That's the gland that deals with the fight or flight response, deals with the stress response, and deals with the relaxation response too. And so the adrenal glands, when the gas is on, is pumping out more hormones, et cetera, in an effort to deal with the higher amounts of stress. And when mm-hmm. the stress is passed, then you take your foot off the gas and you can either let the car coast or you can reach over and apply the brake to slow things down in that regard.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the symptoms that a person might have a kidney problem or that their kidneys are not functioning at their best?
Their urine is going to be darker than it should. That indicates that you're not drinking enough water. You could have cloudy urine, which means that you may be dumping out proteins or some sort of byproduct of an infection or something along those lines. You could have pain in your lower back along the two flanks. You could have an imbalance in your hips and those sorts of things. So these are all indicators that if somebody came in and told me they had pain or dysfunction or they were noticing these signs or these kinds of symptoms, mm-hmm. that would lead me to believe that we need to take a look at, well, what is their kidney reflex doing and what is their kidney functioning doing?
I see. What about, so you talked about the lower back. Is the same thing true in the shoulders and the upper back and near the neck?
Pain. As a practitioner who understands that where the different referral areas are, so you can have low back pain and hip pain, but you can also get pain in the tops of the shoulders near the neck, and all of this in terms of doing the evaluation helps a person to understand. You know, again, we've talked in the past about the reason why and what the mechanism mm-hmm. of why is. And so when we want to get to the why, we're looking for what's the source of why a person gets what they get. And then once we find the source, in this case, we're talking about kidneys with referrals to those particular areas like the low back, hips, and mm-hmm. Neck and upper shoulders and all of that. Those are all indications of where we now need to go look. And in this case, we would go start taking a look at, well, what's going on with the kidneys?
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned hydration is extremely important. And in the winter, it's actually even more particularly important, isn't it?
Absolutely. We lose and burn more water when it's cold versus when we are hot or when the temperature is warmer. And it's important to always maintain proper water consumption regularly, and it's easier to become dehydrated in the winter months due to the cold temperatures and what we see that actually happens as a result. You know, our body temperature should be what, Mark?
98.6.
And so when it's 100 degrees out, it's just above what is considered normal body temperature. And so the physiology isn't going to have a difficult time. But when it's cold out and you want to maintain a normal body temperature, your body has to run at a higher rate in which to maintain that temperature. And what helps you maintain that temperature is a thing called the Krebs cycle, which is what helps your metabolism and helps to generate energy and helps to make all the different organs and glands work better. When your physiology, when the Krebs cycle itself doesn't turn an appropriate amount of times, then your metabolism slows down. Well, if you want your metabolism to run at a higher rate so that you can maintain your temperature, the rate-limiting step or ingredient that helps to regulate that cycle happens to be water. So there's three molecules of water that goes into the Krebs cycle, and you give off one molecule of water as a waste product. And so when you're outside in the cold and you're breathing, what do you notice in the wintertime?
You see your breath.
You can see your breath. So every time you exhale, what's coming out of your mouth?
It's got to be water.
It is water. And so if you're losing that much water every time you exhale, and you can witness that in the wintertime, you want to make sure that you drink enough water.
So how much water should you drink?
Ideally,
yeah,
1 quart of water for every 50 pounds you weigh, and you want to do that every day.
1 quart for every 50 pounds.
Yes.
So if you weigh 200 pounds,
you're drinking a gallon of water every day.
A gallon of water.
If you want to maintain normal function. Now, we know something to be true, Mark, and anybody that's ever gone into a hospital, if you get admitted to the hospital, what's the first thing they do for you?
They put you on an IV.
Right. They hook you up to fluids. Why?
Probably because you're dehydrated.
They know you're dehydrated if you walk into their place of business. They know that. It's universal for everybody. So if everybody who has a symptom, who goes to the emergency room for care, the first thing they do regardless of anything else, is to hydrate you. So what's the best thing that you can do in an effort to minimize or eliminate all your symptoms?
It would be to hydrate yourself.
Yeah, and that's the rate that you want to do that is 1 quart of water for every 50 pounds you weigh, and you want to do that every day.
And just drinking enough water can do more to improve your health than just about anything else.
Drinking enough water makes everything work better, work more balanced, and work more normal. And when everything's working better, balanced, and normal, how do you feel?
Healthier.
Right.
Yeah. So in traditional Chinese medicine, it teaches that the kidneys are the storehouse of that vital essence. Isn't kidney energy said to be responsible for things like healthy teeth, healthy bones, and your bone marrow?
Yeah, there is part of that because that's one of the ways that our kidneys interact with and relate to the different parts of the body. And so, yeah, there's definitely a correlation with that.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens when you're out of balance with that water element?
Well, you would get kidney concerns, perhaps kidney stones, kidney disease, bladder issues, weakness in your bladder, urethra issues, bladder infections, ureter concerns, low energy. You could get teeth imbalances or bone imbalances as a result.
So something like kidney stones, that's a pretty severe thing, very painful condition.
I've been told that passing a kidney stone is more painful than giving birth. Now, I've not experienced either of them. I don't have the anatomy to sustain growing a fetus and then bearing that fetus through the birth canal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen it depicted on television where the women are dealing with a lot of pain associated with it. But it's pleasurable pain because the reward that they get for that. Okay. There's also a reward for passing a kidney stone, but what my understanding is, having talked to women who've done both, is that a kidney stone is more severe pain than giving birth.
Wow, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad
pain. It can be.
Yeah, I would think so. So what would lead to somebody having a kidney stone? Is it just the lack of drinking enough water?
Well, you want to definitely increase the amount of fluids to help support the body's ability to pass the stone, but you have to take a look at the physiology of why is calcium or why is uric acid being excreted. Those are the two main types of stones that will develop in the kidneys. Why is the body excreting that at a higher rate and it's getting lodged in the kidneys? So you got to take a look at what's going on physiologically with their whole metabolic system to find out what they're doing to help them kick out those ingredients at a higher rate that they're precipitating and congealing and congesting in the kidneys, creating kidney stones.
Mm-hmm. Now you said uric acid, isn't that also associated with gout?
It is.
And so is gout then related to kidney function?
It can be.
Can be, but doesn't necessarily.
Well, a person, you know, the doctors won't necessarily look at kidney function every time that a person has gout. They may look at some of their subjective symptoms. They may look at some of their objective symptoms, and it may or may not correlate directly to the kidneys. Mm-hmm. But realistically, in terms of how I work with a person, is I want to understand all their relationships. And so when a person has gout and I know that their body's producing a lot of uric acid, then I would like to see, is it affecting their gallbladder and their liver? And it will a good majority of the time. Or I want to see, is it affecting one of their other internal filters, whether that's the kidneys or whether that's the spleen?
So help me understand, is uric acid something that would be developed in the kidney? Is that part, because the urine is developed in the kidneys and then eliminated into the bladder and then out of the body.
Right. And so there is a component of that, but more times than not, physiologically, when your body's producing uric acid in high quantities, okay, mm-hmm. that's a physiological imbalance that involves multiple systems. So mm-hmm. you need to treat it as a multi-system factor, not necessarily one organ or one particular issue.
I see. So if you have a kidney imbalance, does that force your heart to work harder and a higher speed, or does it increase your risk of getting something like a stroke?
Absolutely. That can be a consequence of that and something the medical profession doesn't really look for, since your nephrologist is usually not in the same office as your cardiologist. But there is some overlap, and both practitioners need to be involved in that process. And the challenge in our healthcare system is we've got so many subspecialties and so many separate offices. It's like, okay, that's why it's important to look at somebody holistically, because you're a whole person. You're not a heart or a kidney. And sometimes it's hard for your kidney doctor or your nephrologist to talk to your cardiologist and vice versa. But there is a relationship there. And sometimes there's good relationships between a cardiologist and a nephrologist. So it just depends upon, well, where is the level, what degree of understanding do these practitioners have, and how diligently are they practicing their craft? And so realistically, somebody has a heart attack, the correlation may be found, and 55% of the time it's literally too late, meaning the person had a life-ending heart attack. Mm-hmm. And then on autopsy, they find out, well, they had this kidney imbalance to go along with it.
How would they recognize a kidney imbalance if there's, I mean, a kidney stone would be easy to recognize.
Well, you look at the blood chemistry and just see what the physiology and what the cytology is of the, you know, when you take a biopsy of the kidney and you look at the kidney cells underneath the microscope, then you'll see whether they were functioning normal or not normal. And that's what a mortician does. That's what a coroner does. They will take a look at what's going on physiologically, if there was a question of what was the cause of death and what was going on with this particular person.
It would seem that you would be able to do that examination or get that information prior to somebody passing away.
Well, yeah. But here's the thing. Most people we've talked about in past shows is where most people don't want to go to the doctor because they're afraid of getting bad news. They're afraid of being given a life-ending diagnosis, and they would rather not know if that they have a problem, because sometimes people think it's better not to know than to know. My perspective is it's better to know, and then more importantly, it's better to know why, because then you can address the why, and then you don't have to worry anymore. Mm-hmm. But in our society, you know, one of the biggest complaints that we have is that people won't go in for a checkup the way that they should go in. So doctors, in an effort to compensate for that, they overcompensate. They put out the information that says that it's mandatory that you come in and have a physical once a year. And they've created the foundational backstory that in a lot of instances, it makes people afraid of not going in anymore, which is a good thing, because it's good to evaluate where a person's at, because, mm-hmm. again, you need to lose 60% of normal functioning in order to have a symptom, and the first symptom of heart disease for 55% of people who suffer from it is a life-ending heart attack. Well, you'd like to know ahead of time, and so it's important to go have those blood tests and have the evaluations and maybe go in for an EKG or something along those lines, or go in for a kidney function test since we're talking about kidneys here. And you know, it's important to get in front of a problem rather than chase problems. And most of medicine, unfortunately, right now, they chase problems by masking symptoms.
Right. Well, this is interesting because, you know, we're talking about the fact that you may be asymptomatic. And one of the things that relates to kidney health that I want to talk to you is about blood pressure. So, but before we get into the topic of how blood pressure relates to kidney health, we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com.
Yes, please listen to this commercial and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Your attention, please. Do you suffer with kidney concerns such as high blood pressure, heart palpitations, dehydration, low back pain, fluid retention, swelling, and constipation? All of these can develop when there are too many toxins affecting the kidney. Call 845-561-2225 and speak to Dr. Richard Huntoon about the doctor-supervised detoxification program. This healthy cleanse will change your life and eliminate your health concerns. Call 845-561-2225 and ask about the doctor-supervised detox program. Return your health to balance. That's 561-2225, the Doctor Supervised Detoxification Program, your solution to your kidney concerns.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're at Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do that would be to call my cell phone. My cell phone is the one I carry with me everywhere I go, and it even sits next to my bed at night. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can give me a call at 845 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. If you don't want to call me and you want to communicate to me via email, you can email me at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding what the concerns that you have. Now, today, Mark and I are talking about kidney health, and I think you want to get into the real topic today, which is what?
Blood pressure.
Blood pressure.
Which
That's
really,
a pretty common problem today, isn't it?
It is a very common problem today. And one of the things that we had mentioned before, that the first symptom that you have a heart issue may be that you have a heart attack. So
right.
It's asymptomatic. Blood pressure is also asymptomatic.
Blood pressure is known as the silent killer, Mark.
So what exactly is blood pressure?
Well, let me answer that first. It's called the silent killer because there are no symptoms associated with high blood pressure. It's such a slow, insidious circumstance, and it goes on inside you that you won't get any indication that you have high blood pressure. It's like if I say, Mark, what is your blood pressure right now? You have no idea.
No idea.
Okay. Even when you're stressed, you still have no idea, which is why you need to go have your blood pressure taken. And it's oftentimes where that's when they find that a person has blood pressure issues. Now, getting back to your question, what exactly is blood pressure? It's the measurement of resistance within the blood vessels and the stress on the cardiovascular system as measured by using a blood pressure cuff.
So, and they measure that in what? Some kind of like how many pounds of pressure there are?
They measure it in millimeters of mercury. So when you're looking at the instrument called a sphygmomanometer that has the little gauge on it that tells you anywhere from 200 all the way down to zero, and you're listening to it, you're watching it while you're listening to the stethoscope is on the artery itself, and as you take the pressure off the blood pressure cuff, when the artery first opens up, you're going to actually hear within the stethoscope, you're going to hear the heart beating.
Uh-huh.
So the first sound that you hear when you're opening up and letting the blood come back through the cuff, underneath the cuff through the blood vessel, the first sound you hear is what's known as the systolic pressure. And that's the first number, that's the upper number of a blood pressure reading, like blood pressure 120 over 80. So
mm-hmm.
the first number you would hear would be 120, and that's in millimeters of mercury. And then as you continue to let the air out of the blood pressure cuff, you'll get to a point where now the heartbeat that you hear in the stethoscope goes away. And when the stethoscope stops hearing the blood pressure, that means that the artery has gone from being fully compressed to being fully open. Now there's no resistance in there, therefore you're not going to hear the heartbeat. And that second number is a lower pressure number.
Uh-huh.
That's called your diastolic. So the first number is your systolic. That's when the heart is maximally contracted and pumping. And the second number is the diastolic. That's when the heart is maximally relaxed and filling.
Uh-huh.
So those are the two numbers that relate to blood pressure.
Okay, and so what is the relationship between the kidneys and blood pressure?
Well, they control and regulate the electrolytes of sodium and potassium, which influences the blood pressure reading. So the kidneys, with the help of the adrenal glands, regulate the blood pressure by the amount of sodium or the amount of potassium that's in the blood. And when you are under stress and your adrenal glands secrete a hormone called aldosterone, it causes your body to conserve sodium. And as the sodium concentration increases in the blood, it also increases the amount of fluid that you hold on to. And so when you hold on to more fluid inside the tube, the more fluid in the tube causes what?
More pressure.
More pressure. And so sodium is related to holding on to fluid, which then increases the pressure within the system. Now, the other half of the equation has to do with potassium. Potassium is the counterbalance to sodium, and when the stress of the situation has passed, your adrenal glands are going to do the second part of the equation, which is called aldosterone escape, which stops the aldosterone, which stops you from conserving sodium. So now your body dumps the excess amounts of sodium, and now the blood pressure comes back to normal, and it causes you to conserve potassium.
So this sodium thing, that sounds like why they recommend low sodium diets for people with high blood pressure.
Well, they do because they don't understand the whole equation of the physiology. Your body has a system that regulates that system of sodium and potassium balance. And when you're under stress, your body needs to conserve sodium in an effort to pump more blood around to deal with a stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
When the stress is passed, your body dumps the excess sodium by doing the aldosterone escape, and it causes you to conserve potassium, which brings the blood pressure back down to normal. And so what the cardiologists and the American Heart Association, all of that, they understand the physiology, but they only made the public aware of the first half of the equation, which has to do with sodium. So they incorrectly started to label sodium as being problematic, and so they started reducing sodium within the person's diet. But here's the question mark. If you don't have enough sodium to produce normal physiology, and you need sodium to do that, what do you think your body's going to do in an effort to conserve sodium? It's going to hold on to it.
Yeah, it won't let it out.
Right. So it's going to secrete more aldosterone in an effort to conserve sodium, which is going to do what to your adrenal glands over time?
Strain them.
It's going to strain them, and they're not going to work the way that they're supposed to. So then your ability to regulate blood pressure is going to be interfered with. And what's going to increase your body's reason for interfering with your ability to regulate sodium and potassium? That's taking sodium out of your diet. So if you take sodium out of your diet, instead of leaving the sodium where it is and increase the potassium in your diet, then you will help to regulate the sodium-potassium balance and help to regulate your blood pressure.
So you could actually help somebody with that balance by adding more potassium into the diet.
Adding more foods that contain potassium in the diet, things like bananas. Eat a banana, that will increase your potassium, which will help to get your adrenals to maintain proper sodium balance, which will help to negate the effects of having too much sodium, which will help to lower your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Most cardiologists and doctors that will prescribe blood pressure medication won't get into it that well. They'll just say, we took your blood pressure and it's high, so we want to give you medication. But they never address the reason why. We just actually went over the physiology of the why.
Mm-hmm. So what is the impact on your heart that your blood pressure is
high? Well, when your blood pressure is high and there's more stress in the system, and what do we know about stress? Stress causes inflammation, and inflammation leads to damage of the walls, or the walls of the arteries, or the walls of the whole system, cardiovascular system itself, and that over time is going to create damage and plaquing. And when you get plaquing in the arteries of your heart, okay, that's what leads to heart blockages and heart attacks.
And this is why people get stents. And
this is one of the ways that they help to solve that is by stents. But I happen to understand the physiology. And if you have a glucose tolerance factor within the blood that helps to keep the blood cells from becoming sticky and leading to the accumulation on the inside of the arteries, then if you get the glucose balanced, okay, then you won't have the plaquing that develops in the arteriosclerosis and the atherosclerosis. And, you know, they talk about how heart disease is correlated with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if you can't control your blood sugar, then you're going to create the inflammatory response, which is going to create more damage, which is going to cause the heart disease. If we get people's blood sugar to be balanced by having enough glucose tolerance and decreasing the amount of sugar that we have, then we decrease the inflammation, we eliminate the heart disease, and we eliminate the diabetes.
So is that a reversible situation where somebody who already has one of these conditions like arteriosclerosis?
If they do the right thing, of course it's reversible. But if their doctor never offers them a reversible solution, and then they just talk about treating the condition, then no, the condition's not going to go away, because why would they want to make the condition go away? That influences their income. So let's treat disease instead of fixing the cause of disease, because that's what keeps our doors open.
Okay, that's a kind of a grim assessment.
Well, it's a grim, it's not a grim, it's just, it's an assessment, it's an objective assessment of what the state of our healthcare system is.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you know that have high blood pressure?
I don't even know if they do or not.
Right. There's pretty much 80% of our country has high blood pressure.
Especially because they've lowered the numbers.
Right. In an effort to give people more medication, in an effort to prevent the effects of high blood pressure. You know, basically what they're doing is they say the way we're going to solve the blood pressure conundrum is we're just going to have everybody take blood pressure medication. That addresses the what. Again, it doesn't address the why. I want people to understand the why and address the why, and then they don't need the medication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But how many people have diabetes in this country?
So millions and right. millions, yeah. So
how many people have heart disease?
Millions again.
Right. So
yeah.
we have heart disease, we have high blood pressure, and we have diabetes. And all of those are related. And if you address them appropriately, then they all go away. But there's no money to be made in making them all go away. So we just want to treat them.
Hmm. Well, again, it does definitely seem like we're approaching things in the wrong way when you put it that way.
We're definitely approaching it. Taking more medication doesn't make a person healthier. Taking medication is more chemicals into the system that adds to the body's trying to figure out, well, how we have some knowns and we have some unknowns, and the medication is the unknown. The known is what we're telling you is the problem. Well, you throw in an unknown like medication, and how many times have doctors say, well, stop taking anything else that you're taking and just take this, because we don't know if what you're taking is going to interfere with this. So a lot of my patients say, well, my doctor wants me to take this medication, but if I'm going to take this medication, then I can't take any of the supplements that we're taking. And I'm like, well, ask your doctor if it's illegal for you to eat food while you're taking this medication. And if it's illegal for you to eat food while you're taking the medication, then you may want to have the conversation, well, how is your body supposed to survive if you're not eating food? Well, the supplements that we give people are 100% whole food. So as long as eating food is not contraindicated to your medication and you're still allowed to eat in order to live and survive, then what I recommend for people to have is not going to interfere with their medication. But the doctors don't understand that because they don't study nutrition. Therefore, they're going to say, well, we have to eliminate anything that may interfere with the medication. So we're just going to tell you to not do any of those things that would interfere with the medication, because our medication takes precedence over you being healthy.
Wow. I'm just sort of stunned here by this conversation.
And
because
at the end of the day, you should be stunned, Mark, because it goes right to the heart of the matter, blood pressure, heart, kidneys, whatever. It goes right to the heart of matter of what's wrong with our healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. And we're not approaching it from health. We're approaching it from treating disease.
Right. For how long?
Well, in my lifetime, I think.
No, but I mean, how long do you treat somebody with high blood pressure?
For the rest of their life.
Forever.
Yeah.
How long do you treat somebody with diabetes?
You got to monitor
how
forever.
How long do you treat somebody with high cholesterol?
Forever.
Yeah. Okay. So it's good business practice, but it's not good health practice. And that's where we run into the problem. The business of healthcare has nothing to do with health. It has everything to do with the business of treating disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are stressed out. And when they're stressed out, their blood
pressure goes up. Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that you're lacking blood pressure medication. It means that your body doesn't have the ingredients necessary in order to manage it in a healthy way.
To manage the stress.
That's what nutrition is. That's why we got to unplug from our cell phones, and we got to get away from the idiot box, and we have to stop listening to the news, because all of that does what?
Raises your blood pressure.
Right. Stresses us out.
Stress. Yeah. Well, once again, another fascinating conversation, eye-opening conversation. We need to take a short break to hear from our generous sponsor, the alternativehealthcarenetwork.com. When we get back, I do want to continue this conversation with you.
Absolutely. I'm enjoying it. We should do that again as soon as we come from this short commercial break. So please listen to this commercial, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Why do I keep getting sick? Why can't I get healthy? Why do I have to take all these medications? You want to be well. You want to know why you're not. You want answers. Now you can find out by asking Dr. Why. Dr. Why is a holistic healthcare provider who has dedicated his life to uncovering the causes of health concerns. Dr. Why has traveled the globe studying the best natural ways to help you to wellness. He'll identify the root causes of your health concerns, get you the answers you want, and help you to health in a natural, drug-free way. Schedule a visit with Dr. Why today by calling 845-561-2225. That's 845-561-2225.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
We are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. And today, Mark and I have been talking about kidney health and how it relates to blood pressure. And my apologies for going off on a tangent, but I hope the information was eye-opening. You got more questions, Mark?
Yeah, well, why is high blood pressure dangerous?
Again, because the amount of pressure in the system, it's like if you have too much pressure, interesting, I was watching a movie the other night at my brother's house, and it was Die Hard, whatever the last Die Hard movie that they made, and what they were doing was they were trying to obviously blow up Bruce Willis, because that's what the bad guys do the whole time. And what they did was they took every amount of gas that comes from the whole East Coast that goes through this one processing plant, because these terrorists were trying to stop the whole process from moving forward. And so what the bad guy did was he told his tech guy, who's in charge of sabotaging the computer systems that regulate the gas, just send them all to where Bruce Willis's character is. And as more and more gas came in, you could see a trail of the pressure that was going on, because there was bombs and blowing up and the pipes and flames and all of this stuff. And you could see the pressure going across the country and how all this was blowing up. And it's, yeah, if you put too much pressure in a system, the system is going to have to deal with that pressure. And when you don't have enough of the nutrients that your body needs in order to keep flexible arteries to allow for it to accommodate to the pressure, then you could blow a gasket, so to speak, and you could rupture an artery and get an aneurysm, or you could get a stroke or something along those lines as a result of it.
And I mean, that makes me think that your blood pressure is changing all the time, isn't it?
Your blood pressure does change all the time. When you walk up a flight of stairs, your blood pressure is higher at the top of the stairs than when you were at the bottom of the stairs. And when you're laying, your resting blood pressure is different from when you're being active. And when you're at higher altitude, it's different from when you're at lower altitude. And when you're scuba diving underneath the ocean and you're under pressure of the water around you, then your blood pressure changes with it. So, yeah, your blood pressure is always changing. So what they want to do when you go to your doctor's office is they want to take your resting blood pressure, and ideally it should be done when you're resting. Now if you rush into the office and you're late for a meeting because you waited an hour and a half to be seen, and now you're going to get your 3 minutes of FaceTime with your doctor, and the nurse practitioner or the physician's assistant takes your blood pressure as you're under duress,
it's going to be higher. There's also that white coat syndrome.
Right. You're in anticipation of the doctor coming in and there's something wrong with you, so you got a little bit of angst and anxiety associated with it, and so your blood pressure elevates there too. Why? Because you're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do when somebody comes into the office, which is different from what most medical doctors do, is if we take your blood pressure, you know this, Mark, we take it in how many positions?
Three.
Why three?
Because you want to be able to see how the blood pressure changes when you move from one position to the other.
Right. We want to add a basic stress to the body, which is changing positions, going from seated to standing or from standing to laying down. And you want to see the blood pressure change accordingly to the stress of increasing or the stress of decreasing on the system.
Mm-hmm.
And your blood pressure should go up when you increase the stress on the system, and it should go down when you decrease the stress on the system. And then you know that your body is responding to stress in a normal fashion, regardless of what your blood pressure is. Now, the thing that helps us understand is if the heart is under stress due to blood pressure is what we've talked about in the past called your pulse pressure. You mm-hmm. remember what pulse pressure is, Mark?
It's the differential between the systolic and the diastolic.
Right. It's the difference between the measurement, the higher number, let's say 120, versus the lower number, let's say 80. So if you subtract the lower number from the higher number, you get a new number. If you take 120 and you subtract 80 from it, you're left with what's left over, which is 40. 40 would be the pulse pressure. The pulse pressure is the measurement of how much stress your heart is under based upon beating the heart. And the beating of the heart under a pressure system is going to create more pressure within the system, and you could blow a gasket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if your pulse pressure is between 30 and 50, with 40 being ideal, then it doesn't matter what the blood pressure is doing, because your heart is not responding to the stress of the pressure, which means you got a healthy system.
Mm-hmm.
But if your pulse pressure is, let's say, 90, meaning let's say your blood pressure was 190 over 100, that pulse pressure is huge. It's almost twice what it should be. So now I'm concerned. Now we definitely want to get that whole system to change, and that may be a reason to go on blood pressure medication to get you out of crisis, but then come see me. We'll address the reason for why your heart was in crisis or why the system was in crisis, and then you can get off the blood pressure medication after the crisis has been averted.
Right. Now, is it possible that one of those numbers would stay the same and that your pulse pressure would change? In other words, it could be 150 over 80 and 120 over 80.
Yeah, as you get older and the resistance within your blood vessels increases due to the deposits that develop on the inside of people's arteries as a result of a blood sugar handling problem, which we can address naturally and get rid of the plaquing on your arteries. But if a person has plaque buildup over time, then you would expect the first number to gradually increase with time. And there's a general rule that I don't know that medicine applies it anymore because it may become an obsolete rule. But basically, if you add 100 to whatever your age is, you can expect your systolic blood pressure to be roughly around that same number. So if you're 60 and your systolic blood pressure is 160, okay, that's a general rule of thumb. But at the end of the day, yeah, if you got a 160 over 80, now your pulse pressure is 80. That's a pretty high pulse pressure.
Right.
So what I want to do is I want to help the person, based on their age, not have so much resistance building up inside their arterial system so that their blood pressure can lower because the blood vessels are the normal way they should be and they don't have a lot of plaquing associated with it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times doctors will check for plaquing, do scans, and they'll look at what's going on with your carotid arteries, and they'll look at what's going on with your vertebral arteries, and they'll do a calcium score and all of that kind of stuff. Well, that just tells up how much crap is being deposited on the inside of your blood vessels. And there's a way to help that go away, which helps to bring the pressure of the system down, and then your blood pressure comes down and you don't need medication and you don't set yourself up for having a heart attack.
And part of what we're talking about is also the flexibility of the arterial and venous systems, right? That those, if they become hardened, then they can't adjust to the pressure.
Right. Then that creates more pressure in the system because they're not as flexible.
What about low blood pressure? Is the same issue with low blood pressure there is with high blood pressure?
Well, it's an issue, but it's not the same issue because you're not going to blow a gasket with low blood pressure, but you may not have enough blood being pumped around in an efficient manner in order for things to function the way that they're supposed to. When your blood pressure is too low, okay, you may get congestion of blood within your heart, okay, which then can coagulate and create the basis for a stroke because your blood pressure is too low. Okay. And, you know, we need the blood flow to be pumping regularly, which is why when somebody gets an irregular heartbeat, one of the things that they're concerned with is potentially you having a stroke. Because if the blood pools in the heart too long and it starts to coagulate as a result of pooling, then you're going to create a clot. And then that clot will get pumped out of the heart and go into one of the arteries. And then those arteries get smaller and smaller and smaller. And when it gets up to your brain, then it blocks your brain. And then you get a stroke in your brain. And then you get paralysis and all sorts of fun things.
Could also get into your lungs at that
point,
right? You could,
and then that would be like an embolus, and then that could create problems too.
Right, right. So with all these things that you're dealing with in terms of blood pressure, and let's say the predominant problem seems to be high blood pressure, there are different medications that they provide, and there are different types of medications that also to deal with high blood pressure.
Right.
So are there different ways that those affect the person?
Every one of them affects different people differently.
So there's no
universal result because everybody's an individual. Now, they'll tell you these are the basic symptoms that you should expect with taking this medication. And I ask the question, well, then why are you giving the medication? Because a side effect or these particular symptoms associated with taking the medication is your body's way of telling you that that's the wrong answer, because if it was the right answer, then you would just feel better and you wouldn't have any consequences. But a side effect is a consequence of taking a chemical that your body doesn't want.
Right.
And so we want to eliminate side effects. We want to eliminate, you know, we want to develop solutions, okay, that actually work with the body to get the body to do its job, not to stop the body from doing its job that leads to other complications. And most medications are suppressive in nature. They block the normal physiology in an effort to regulate normal physiology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And with all these medications. Now, one of the things you mentioned was that you may need medication for high blood pressure for a crisis.
Right.
But then it's possible to get off that medication. That's not what you would typically hear from the medical profession.
No, you wouldn't, because at the end of the day, they feel that they found a gold mine, so to speak. And I say that tongue in cheek, but at the end of the day, this is the business of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's more money to be made in keeping people sick than there is in getting them well. Why? Because you have to keep taking their stuff and they get residual income. So what goes on in the pharmaceutical industry, and this is basically the business model of the pharmaceutical industry, is let's find as many people as we can to take our chemical substance called medication, and let's get as many people as possible as taking it. And the sad part is that doesn't fix anything. And it's going to lead to complications, because that's what side effects are. They are physiological complications of taking a chemical that was never meant to be in the body to begin with.
So how do you change that, the problem? How do you address the problem of somebody that has high blood pressure without using the medication?
You go after the physiology of why the body's producing high blood pressure. And it could be a kidney problem. It could be an adrenal problem. It could be a heart problem. It could be a vascular problem. It could be a liver problem. It could be a food problem. It could be an allergy problem. It could be any of these things can cause that. And if you don't have the ability, the most common question that people do ask their doctor, and I give them credit, and the doctor never answers the question because the doctor honestly doesn't know why.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor will come flat out and say, listen, there's so many reasons for why this happens. We just don't know, but it's in your best interest just to take this medication because we don't know.
Well, you just listed a number of different reasons that could cause high blood pressure.
Right.
So in order to be able to get there, you're going to have to sit there and find out which one of those myriad reasons is the one that's causing your situation where your high blood pressure.
Right, and that's why you have to keep going back for tests, because this test didn't answer it, so we order another test, we order another test, we order another test, and you have to go back multiple times for the test itself and then back for the results and then for the next test and then the results. And that's what basically anybody who's over the age of 65 who's retired, their new full-time job is going to the doctor. Now, to your point, Mark, you're right. Order a lot of tests. Well, in my office, we do all those tests in your evaluation. So I'm going to find the cause of your blood pressure problem, whether it could be any and all of them. And it could have a little component of all of those things that I listed before, or it could be one or two of them, or it could just be one. But wouldn't you want to know why you have high blood pressure and address that?
Exactly my point.
So I mean, that's the point. Come talk to me and I'll tell you why. When you're not getting the answer from your medical doctor. Now, if your medical doctor can answer why for you, then good, go with that why.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come into my office and you say, well, I take blood pressure medication because I want to know what your medications you're on, because that influences my evaluation.
Sure.
And I say, well, why are you on it? And you say, well, you know what? My doctor never told me that. Well, good, then I'll tell you why while you're in my office. But if your doctor did tell you, and then you tell me what they told you, I'll say, well, if that's true, then good. Then that should prove out in our evaluation today, and I can confirm or deny what you've been told as being true or not true.
And can that change over time?
Of course it will change. Everything about you changes over time, Mark, and that's the point. Don't treat somebody thinking that you know what they are. You're not a person with diabetes. You're not a person with cancer. You're not a person with heart disease. Okay? You're a person first. And you are a dynamic individual that changes from moment to moment to moment. So treat the person for who they are, not necessarily what they've been told that they have.
That's the key to the difference in how you deal with patients and how the medical profession. So if somebody wants to reach out and get the answers to their particular situation, their particular questions that they have about their health situation, whether they have high blood pressure or any of a number of other health issues that they're facing, what's the best way to contact you and get the help they need?
This thing I'm holding in my hand right now is what?
Your cell phone.
Right. That's the best way to get a hold of me. You call my cell phone. The phone's going to ring, and I'm going to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to get an opportunity to talk to me and ask me whatever question you have. And I may ask you some questions, too, just to get more of a sense of who you are and how that all works and all of that. And then I'm going to answer your question. And a lot of times, you have to come in order for me to rule out any of those five or six or seven different causes of high blood pressure as to why you have high blood pressure. But if you're interested in understanding why, which is why you've picked up the phone and called me, because you want the answer to the why, then you should be excited to come in and have an evaluation to get to the bottom of why.
Absolutely.
And that's what we would ask you to do. And it's not up to me when your health matters. It's up to you, the listener, when your health matters. And when your health matters and you want to get to the bottom of it, by all means, please give me a call. I am more than happy. I'm ecstatic to have an opportunity to help you because there's so much joy in the face of my patients when I answer their why and it makes sense to them because it's really that simple.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So I want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in today. I'm going to ask you to tune back in next week. Same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I enjoyed you tuning in today, and that's it for this week's show, and we'll speak to you next week when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger?